Avatar tisse sa toile. La dernière séance en date des Suédois d'Avatar, Dance Devil Dance, porte, il faut en convenir, divinement son nom. Ainsi, cette danse de tous les diables plonge nos conduits auditifs au cœur d'un maelstrom dans lequel on se laisse happer avec délectation. Format renouvellement sans cesse affiché, ce 9e album du quintet ne déroge pas la règle avec de véritables moments d'anthologie où, contre toute attente, les influences vocales de King Diamond auraient croisé la luette de Perry Farrell ou, plus improbable encore, celle de Sir Nick Cave ou même des Beach Boys version heavy. Preuve que ce nouvel opus fait mouche, toute écoute prolongée vous vaudra à coup sûr une visite chez le chiropracteur dont chaque morceau met votre rachis cervical à rude épreuve. Éteignez les lumières, préparez les popcorns, le diable Avatar par la voix de son batteur et fondateur du combo John Alfredson entre dans la danse. Une interview signée Agent d'entretien.
Hello John.
Hello.
So we're ready to rock Paris tonight?
Yeah. Yes, very much ready. Yeah.
So, you know, I was listening to this new album, Dance, Devil Dance. It's like when you hear this album, first of all, you want to handbang furiously. So was it what you had in mind during the composition process, like projecting yourself live and imagining the audience going crazy in the pit, keeping the world dance in the back of your head?
Yeah, very much. I'm very happy that you say it. I love the choice of words that you want to headbang furiously when you hear it. That's great. That's what we want. The word dance was very prominent. We feel that a lot of modern heavy metal has lost its, you know, the sense of metal. Heavy metal is music. You should lift something heavy. You should take a mirror selfie when you're flexing your muscle. You should get pregnant. You should like stuff like it. That is what metal should, stuff you can should do to metal. And much modern metal has sort of lost that perspective. If you go back and listen to everything from like old Iron Maiden and Deep Purple, like it's grooving. It's extremely grooving.
Even in Black Sabbath,
Black Sabbath is extremely groovy. To quote our singer Johannes, we're on a mission to save heavy metal.
Yeah,
so both
heard that.
But I'm not as cocky as him. So I'm just gonna quote him on that. But
do you think that heavy metal needs to be saved?
Yeah, I listen from time to time to like the new metal playlist on Spotify, and like sometimes I hear something that I do enjoy, but most of the times I just hear stuff that is very perfected and very cut, like it sounds like a computer made the music, and then I feel you're missing the soul of heavy metal. It's nothing that, you know, interests me so much. I'm not saying every band is like that, because there is a whole bunch of good new bands out there. France having one of the best ones, like Gojira. So and Gojira is a very human band, extremely groovy, extremely human, extremely brutal at the same time. There's many bands on the level of brutality that Gojira is, but they tend to just destroy it by making it so perfect and like cutting everything is like on time, and like it sounds like a computer did it. Gojira sounds like a bunch of humans playing music.
That's where you're focusing on when you're composing, like being focused on the emotion of the track in itself?
Yeah, very much.
And you know, you released this new album on your own record label. And was it to have a complete control of everything and being artistically free?
Yeah, not so much artistically free, because we've always been very artistically free on the even when we were with record labels. So I'm not gonna blame record labels for putting their finger into what we are doing. They've never done that historically, and we've been very keen on making sure that they know that they're not allowed, but taking control of our own destiny, rather, I would say. Like, it's very easy to be upset with record labels, because we want to focus on a market. Like, we want to work with a specific person in France, or, and then comes a record label and says like, ah, we're not going to focus on that market. You know, like, screw that. Like, now it's up to us. If we fail miserably, if nobody likes Avatar, nobody gets to hear this new record, then it's on us. When we cannot blame anybody else, we cannot blame a record label. We cannot say that the record label fucking sucked, because we are the record label. So we have control of our own destiny. And that is the most intriguing part about dropping it on old label, our own label, sorry.
Yeah, and that's very important when you're doing music, to control your own destiny, in fact. And, you know, it seems that the devil is dancing a lot these days in our society. So is the world we're living in, like with a war, virus, and oppression, a huge source of inspiration to you?
It's been very weird the last couple of years. You know, we had a pandemic.
Yeah.
The world was about to crash and burn. We managed to get through the pandemic, most of us, not everybody, unfortunately, coming out of it, and then it's a fucking war. You're fucking kidding me. And then everything that happens in Iran and like stuff that doesn't get so much talked about on the news. The world is a brutal place, and it has always been a brutal place, but it feels a little bit worse now, maybe. Yeah.
And the sound of this new album is really amazing. It's perfect between the balance between the instrument and the voice of Johannes. How did you work with on the post-production with Jay Ruston on this?
We worked with Jay Ruston for so long. So he knows our band inside out. He knows what we're looking for, and he produced the album as well. So he was there when we recorded the album. And we recorded it in a cabin in the middle of the woods in Sweden, you know. So we were very isolated together for a month. So we had all the time in the world to sit up on the nights drinking a whiskey and listening to Gravedigger or System of a Down or whatever, Beatles, and just, we should do something like this, and we should think like this and think like this. And so I think we talked a lot during the process of recording the album. Then he took the hard drive with the music back to his place in sunny LA and just went inside his air-conditioned studio and mixed everything and sent us the mixes. And we told him upright beforehand, because there's a thing with, like, if you trust someone a lot who's doing post-production, like mixing and stuff, it's dangerous to get too involved. And that is the thing that we felt happened on Hunter Gatherer, because then we were much more involved. He sent like mix one, and we sent notes, and we got mix two and mix three, four, five, six. And then everybody started pinching in their notes, like, I want more bass, all right, and I want a louder snare drum, I want louder guitars. And like, and at the end of it, we, you know, a year after Hunt Together, we felt like, fuck, it's just too much of everything. And because his profession is to be audio engineered, mixing stuff, like that's his profession. I'm not professional at that, I play drums. So we just told him straight up, like, just come with your final mix to us. Make your final mix. Don't ask us on the way. Just do your final mix and send it to us. Then we will give you feedback if there's any. And he did, and we didn't have any feedback. So.
And you said you were all together isolated in the woods. I suppose you came with the track already composed when you came to the studio. Did it evolve a lot because you were all together and you said maybe you could change that or maybe that?
Yes, I would say the album was 90% done before we got in there. Maybe less, actually. Maybe 80% on me. A lot of things happened when we were there. Like the entire song, Dirt and Buried In, happened. The entire song Valley of Disease happened. We just had like a chorus and we had like a riff, and but we all felt like such a good chorus, this is such a good riff, so we should do something about it. So a lot of things happened when we were there. Many songs were done, some were not. Some songs sound very much like they did before we went there, and some songs sound completely different. Yeah.
It was a nice experience, I suppose, to be all isolated in the woods.
Yeah. Absolutely awesome. Together we did
the first time.
That was the first time we did that way. This is also something, you know, some hysteric thought we have that we should do every album different every time. So we did Hunt Together, we did in LA, you know, in a super nice studio, and we had everything, the best microphones, the best everything, the best restaurants around the corner, everything super easy, convenient. So we just felt like we have to do the complete opposite. Like we cannot go back to fucking LA and just sit in a couch and be comfortable. We have to do something extremely uncomfortable. So that is when we decided to just rent a cabin in the middle of the woods in Sweden and just just drive all the gear we needed there and record it there. So we just lived together, cooking food for each other and, you know, enjoying the...
It was a bit like Led Zeppelin 3 when they all went to the countryside to record the album. It's easier to compose that way also.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And you know, in an interview, Johannes said that when you recorded Black Walls, he imagined that it would be the last Avatar album. So I was wondering if when you record a new album, if it was one what you had in mind, that maybe be the last, and that it helped you to do something maybe in many ways different from the previous album.
I think the biggest lesson we learned on Black Walls was, you know, that you should only do music for yourself. Like, you should not think at all about what other people will like. You have to like it yourself and be able to stand for it. And then people catched on, and it seems like people do like genuine music. So, but to answer your question, yeah, I think we're always humble to the fact that it could be always be our last album, you know. But now it's more like, you know, I could walk out the streets after the show and get hit by fucking whatever, like somebody dropped a, what do you call it, like hit by a tram or a car or whatever, you know, like whatever can happen.
We're in the ball right now with the war, so
yeah,
we never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, there could be a pandemic, obviously, you know, so
not again, please.
So we're always humble for that, but there is nothing, we do definitely have more inside of us, so it's there's nothing like, you know, this could be our last album, we're tired of this, we're very much not tired of what we're doing. So.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you know, I've got a question on a specific song, which is A Train. It's an amazing song to me. It's like a Nick Cave at German extreme metal. So it's on the paper, it shouldn't work, but incredibly it does. And how did it come to your mind, this two different musical style from the very beginning to the chorus?
Well, funny, you mentioned Nick Cave, everybody mentioned different. Our inspiration with the working title of that song was in Swedish, Lyncha Edvard. It's called Lynching Edward. And that had very little to do about lynching somebody. It was very much about David Lynch.
Lynch, okay.
And so it's David Lynch and Edward Scissorhands. And that is, you know, the framework for that song. Something that felt like a love child between those. Yeah, and there are some tall weights to it. There are some, I guess you could say there are some Nick Cave to it as well.
Yeah.
We wanted to do something that, you know,
something different.
That felt very, it was an idea that came up and everybody just felt like, oh, yeah, this is fucking cool. And we did it.
So, and you know, on stage, Avatar is very sad, trickle with all this makeup. But comparing to other bands using makeup and various costumes, you are not playing a character, but you seem to be yourself into this character, and it changed a lot. How do you deal with that? And do you have like two different personalities from the one we are speaking together right now and the one the drummer is going to be on stage with his makeup and with his dress up?
It's not two different personalities. It's entertainment, I think. It's a road. It would just look stupid. Now, like, I'm obviously not a singer, you know, so, but speaking for our singer, who's the one with the most makeup, you know.
Yeah.
Or for myself, I also have some makeup and nice costumes and everything. Like, if I were to sit here with you having an interview and trying to act like, yeah, I'm ready to fucking rock Paris tonight, it's just bizarre and pathetic. So we are entertainers. We're very much into show business, and everything that we do is a, he, like, Avatar is an art project, if you will, where everything should walk hand in hand and amplify each other. And so the stage performance should look like the music sounds. The photos should also feel and look like it sounds. Everything has to go together. Everything is a piece of the project, the greater art project that is Avatar. And doing an interview, I'm sorry, but it's not a part of the art project. Now we're talking as, you know, yeah, I am the actor in Avatar, but right now I'm wearing my sweatpants because it's fucking cozy, and I'm gonna put my makeup on later. I'm gonna be myself until 5 seconds before I go on stage, and then I'm gonna go into my role. It's entertainment.
Yeah,
it's a show business.
And my last question, it's on this new album, you said that, I heard that you said that every track was a weapon and a violence no matter what. The last song that condemned the repression in Iran is a very protest song.
It's not a protest song about Iran.
Against fascism.
Yeah, exactly. It's much in much broader terms. It's about not being a fucking fascist, and how fucking hard can it be in these days? It seems like you can. Now we did choose for the lyric. We did choose to specifically dive into the situation in Iran because we were discussing, like, should we do? You know, we could put some clips of that fucking clown from Kreml. You know.
Yeah.
We could put some clips of whatever is going on in Congo or what, you know, but then it will be all over the place. So let's just focus on Wakfi, and then we focus on what's going on in Iran right now. You know, we're a bunch of white guys, middle-class guys from Europe. So, like, do we have the right to, you know, to amplify their voice? I don't know, you know, but like, it's also what people are saying, like, please be our voice. Just be our voice. And so we just decided to, we've been, you know, pretty much into what, we're not a political band in that sense. Like we never really said anything political. We always try and welcome everybody to the extent where we don't really like fascists. And we think it's a pretty bad idea, and history has proven it to be a pretty fucking bad idea. And like killing women or kill, it's just a bad idea. It's and we feel that that is, you know, like it's what do you say, the least, it's called Swedish English.
In Swedish, would have translated better.
Minsta gemensamma nämnaren, the smallest common denominator or like whatever, like, yeah. And then we had somebody comment like, yeah, so Avatar's gone woke now, dude. So do you think not killing women is being woke? It's a protest song about fascism, and we choose to dive into that subject on that lyric video.
Okay, so I let you have your makeup and do the switch 5 signals with the coloring to the on stage.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening to me.
Thank you very much for having me. It was very fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.